Welcome aboard, you people. It is Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlancis for another day of broadcast insolence. There you go.
Starting out with a high voice.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's already started. I'm on DEFCON 5 right now. I'm worried about my lead underwear. It's not fitting as well as it. I know I bought it years ago, and I gained a little weight, and I just my lead underwear doesn't fit like it used to.
Yeah.
So it's very, very, it's tough. And it's also heavy. It's very heavy. And hot. It's too warm outside.
Very
for it.
Game of Thrones of you.
Yes, it is. I got that. I've got... I don't know what else I could really do at this
point. Your underground bunker, that doesn't help so much, does it? Can you do you have one of those?
I don't yet. I was thinking about digging one tonight, though, if I could.
Okay, that would help.
Get down there.
Would you have us all over if we needed to be there the whole show?
Can we all fit in there? I don't think I got enough food and water, really. No, I don't think I do. So I got that.
Canned food, and then your water. You're okay.
Yeah. I mean, Aquapana last through a nuclear holocaust.
The problem is
if it melts, if that plastic melts, it's going to be hard to get it out of the bottle.
You can make spam s'mores on your little bonfire out there on your new deck.
I got to tell you something. I'm not really opposed to spam.
It's not the worst thing in the world.
I'm really not.
Just fry it up.
Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you just have to put ketchup on it to make it taste good? Or what do you do? You can't eat that stuff straight.
It's like a hot dog kind of. So you want more of a mustard kind of a thing with it.
The whole thing sounds awful.
Well, it's not perfect.
After two weeks in the bunker, it's going to sound delicious.
You'll be like, right.
It gets the job done.
Yeah, I'm sure. Not going to tell you that it's not that it's good. I'm just going to tell you that it is what it is. All right, so we're going to talk in a few minutes with Stone Pony, Alex Stone from ABC News, as the West Coast prepares for a nuclear attack.
Gee.
Really? Really? Are we really talking about this?
We are.
That is so weird to me that we have to have this conversation, but yet we are having it. So that's we'll find out what the actual preparations are. And, of course, people go, well, it's political. That's just political. But reality is, I mean, he made the threat, and now we made the threat, and then they made the threat. And then Rex Tillerson is throwing cold water on the whole thing. We're not planning to attack anybody. What are you talking about?
Sleep well tonight.
Sleep well, America. It's fine. We're not speaking with one voice. We are speaking with one voice.
That's what the State Department says.
Sort of.
Just one voice is a lot more pronounced and using a lot different tone than everybody else.
I don't understand.
Very different tone.
I don't understand. I'll tell you one thing, though, guys. Team, I'll tell you one thing. Mm-hmm. A nuclear scare might keep us from having to play tomorrow night. I know it's a preseason game.
I think you'll be okay, Coach.
But I'm going to tell you this right now. It may be just preseason, but it could really be bad. I got a guy who sprained his ankle walking on AstroTurf.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy Langford.
During the walkthrough, I believe.
He still was walking.
But you got to be excited about Mitch Trubisky out there tomorrow night.
I'm just afraid he's going to get killed. If I could just borrow that lead underwear you people were talking about, it'd be really good. I suggest they put him in a shark cage.
Those
shark cages, like from Jaws, they put him in that. It's going to be a little hard for him to get the ball out of there, but it's fine.
He'd be protected.
He would be protected, yeah.
Maybe a bubble boy situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Something along those lines.
It'd be fun to watch, though.
I think that would be the better way to go for that. Maybe one of those big bubbles, those big balloon suits you wear.
Right.
Fat guy suits where you're just bouncing around in it.
Yeah.
You can't hurt me. I mean, I think that's the only way to look at this thing.
And I think you're going to see quite a bit of Mitch Trubisky tomorrow night.
Oh, boy.
Which this is probably
I just want to see Mitch Trubisky walk away from this tomorrow night.
Yes. It's going to be probably the most interesting. I'm excited about this preseason game more than I have been for the last.
Oh, sure.
I don't know, 8 years for the Bears. I mean, there's a lot of intrigue going on here.
Sure.
Yeah, don't sell it. Don't oversell it. We got trouble here, Bell. Trouble.
You'll be fine, Coach.
Oh, says you.
I'm looking forward to it, too. See how they click.
Me, too. I'm looking forward to watching it.
It's too bad that Jay Cutler's not in the broadcast booth, but okay. Still going to be fun to watch.
Oh, God, look away. Look away. maybe Jake could take a day off of throwing 80-yard darts in practice in Miami to come up and call the game. Would it kill him
he's
to
not
do
playing, right?
One of those things?
Yeah, he's not playing tomorrow night, and there's preseason opener. Maybe he could take a quick flight up to Chicago.
Right. You know why he's not playing?
Why?
They don't want him to get hurt. That's why.
You might also.
Don't we have some other guy? Isn't there some, like, I don't know. What is there? There's got to be some guy who played in college who's available right now, is, you know, working somewhere here in Chicago, you know, in an office or, you know, maybe for Streets and Sand or something.
Hey, I'll do it.
Okay, yeah, you could do it. Yeah, I played a little ball school.
Yeah, back in high school.
Man, there could be some guy you put back there. Don't you think that's a better idea?
I do.
Yeah.
Kevin, yeah, I'd love to see Kev there.
Go ahead, Kev.
You guys don't care if I get hurt, but you're worried about Mitch Trubisky, huh?
See, you're a tough guy.
Kev, you'll be fine.
I'll be fine. Pray for me.
God, it's a loser. You hit him to the left. You hit him to the right.
I won't let you down, coach.
All right. Okay, we're going to find out what's happening on the West Coast right now, which is even more horrifying than what we're just talking about. But first, Violetta Pydermatic's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
It's rare. It's epic. And it's coming to Illinois. Tom Skilling previews the total eclipse of the sun. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9. How about that?
And he'll be here to discuss that with us, too. It's going to give him minute by minute. Yeah, it's darker. It's darker. It's dark. Oh, it's lighter. It's lighter.
Something coming like from Tom, I would be hanging on every word. I love it when he describes these things. Oh,
no, don't mind that? Me. That was bad timing is what that was. All right, Alex Stone Pony, ABC News, standing by right now. He's on the West Coast where there are preparations. Do I have this right, Stone Pony? There are preparations in San Francisco and in Hawaii. We'll get to Hawaii in just a second. But San Francisco is preparing for a nuclear attack?
They are. And what they say they're really doing is just going over their regular emergency response plan, unlike Hawaii, that's actually taking real steps. San Francisco says it's got its emergency response plan in place, and it is now making sure that everything in it is good to go and that it's been updated, and that they feel that if folks in San Francisco have prepared as they're told they should for an earthquake, that then they should be ready for a nuclear attack as well. But I was just talking to the emergency management office in San Francisco, and they said their biggest concern is a dirty bomb from a terrorist. They said they really don't believe that this is a major threat right now, that they believe that more likely the scenario would be terrorists setting off some kind of radiological device, and that's what they're preparing for in the same way, where they tell folks, take shelter, don't come out until we tell you to come out, look for a building without windows, it's reinforced, if there's a basement, go to it. Aren't a whole lot of basements in California. Most homes don't have basements in the state, but they say if you can find one, go into it, and just be ready to take shelter at a moment's notice.
It's just the timing of it, I think, Alex, that right after the verbiage that's been, you know, traded between President Trump and Kim Jong-un, that now that San Francisco is doing this, and then you see Hawaii doing it as well, you're like, well, wait a minute, is this, you know,
yeah,
seems more connected.
Well, in Hawaii's situation, now they are truly responding to what's happening in North Korea. They are launching a campaign now, and this campaign is going to instruct those on the islands to take shelter. That they say that this is going to be something that is as important as folks getting ready for an earthquake or a tsunami. They're going to start testing a warning siren in November. It's going to be a wailing sound that they will test on the first workday of the month. If it's followed by a second siren, that would show that it's a real attack and something that people need to respond to. But they say this is going to be a worst-case scenario. They're getting ready for and prepared for a 15-kiloton nuclear weapon that is detonated 1,000 feet above Honolulu, which would then rain down all the radioactive material. So in this campaign, their scenario, the public service announcements that are going to start going out are going to tell residents, get inside, and stay tuned. They believe they would have about 8 minutes notice. It would be a 20-minute flight time from North Korea to hit Hawaii. They think by the time it was tracked by the U.S., by NORAD, and then notified, that notification goes out to Hawaii, they would have about 8 minutes to tell people to get inside, and that they would use those sirens, use any kind of media that they can use to tell folks to take shelter.
Shelter in place, right. The guy who's the head of Hawaii's Emergency Management Agency, HEMA, which does a lot of work. I mean, HEMA is very, very busy because they've got you've got all kinds of things happening on the island chain that, you know, whether it's weather, hurricane-related kind of things or volcano-related kinds of things. I mean, they're constantly having to warn people about, or tidal waves, whatever it is. They have to, emergency management's a big issue for them. And let's face it, that's a state that knows something about an emergency, right? I mean, and it's the first place, if we're going to be attacked from the Pacific, right? As we learned in 1941, that's a big place to hit. It's a big target. It's the secondary home of the Pacific Fleet of the United States Navy. It's got a very, very large Air Force base. It's got a very large Marine installation there. It's got all kinds of listening equipment on those islands. There's testing on those islands. I mean, so it's certainly a ripe target. They know it. They've always known it. And so they're very right to, under any circumstances, to always prepare themselves. Guam, similarly situated, Guam is actually taking even more dramatic steps in terms of their preparation, because Guam does actually have, because it was, you know, primarily, and it still is, primarily a military installation. There aren't, except for the Guamanians who live there, who are U.S. citizens because it's a territory. Those Guamanians they're constantly ever vigilant, because even before Hawaii, even though it's a little less significant of a military strike area, it's, you know, it is the furthest west outpost of the United States.
Sure. And both Hawaii and Guam have the THAAD missile defense system, something that would likely be a system that North Korea would like to take out. Now, Hawaii is telling its residents to increase their food supply, their emergency food supply now, from 6 or 7 days up to 14 days, because they say that's when most of the fallout would be out of the air, and hopefully then rescue teams could be coming in from the mainland. They point out that pretty much everything has to be shipped in via a cargo ship when it comes to food and pallets and whatnot, and that during that time there would be nothing coming in because the water would be contaminated. But the one part that they're still negotiating here, the tourism agencies are not happy about this campaign. They say this is going way too far. They say at this time, when it's still summer vacation right now, they're still at the height of the season, that this is not needed. But what is being planned is that when you land in Hawaii, that on your cell phone, when you turn it back on, that you would get a welcome to Hawaii message that then has all of this information in it, telling you, mainly to warn you of, this is the siren that you're going to hear being tested right now, well, starting in November, and here are the steps you can take if you hear that siren. So not only is the tourism industry unhappy about this overall plan, but now that when folks land in Hawaii, they're going to get a welcome to Hawaii, here's what to do in case of a nuclear attack, something that they're not all too happy about right now.
Can you imagine?
No.
Because it's like paradise. I've never been to Hawaii. It's on my bucket list, but can you imagine?
Oh, it's amazing. You got to go.
It is amazing.
It's like, paradise.
And you better,
right?
You better get there soon, I think is what
we're
just learning
underwear,
right now.
Is that what you're learning?
Yes. I have a lead bikini, too, that I wear.
Perfect.
Yeah, two-piece.
Surfing my lead bikini.
Yeah.
It's not exactly what I thought of when I thought of Hawaii initially.
Yeah, it's very tough. But don't go in over your neck in the lead bikini. That's another thing I learned the hard way.
Bad things happen at that point.
Yeah, but, very bad.
Apparently, keep some shelter nearby in a reinforced building, because they're saying you won't have much time.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Stone Pony, thank you very much. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks,
on the
Alex.
West Coast for us today. As Hawaii prepares for an emergency, Guam prepares for an emergency. Now San Francisco is preparing for an emergency. It's kind of it's an unsettling moment. Not since basically the 1980s have we thought about this, and here we are again.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to Brad Garrett from ABC News, mm-hmm. coming up after the bottom of the hour news here with Judy Pilak. As Paul Manafort's house gets raided by the FBI a couple of weeks ago, as it turns out.
It was.
And it was just reported today as Paul Manafort's spokesperson had to come out and said, he fully cooperated. With a raid? A pre-dawn raid?
The pre-dawn raid never really means you're fully cooperating. Or at least if you are, they don't believe you.
Right. Bin Laden's widow cooperated with it too, as I seem to recall. All right, we will we'll talk about all of that. But first, Judy stands by with the WGN News 2 minutes away. Brokaw Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. It was released today, or revealed today, that Paul Manafort, remember him? He's one of the guys that I have in my pool of potentially going. It's Mike Flynn and Paul Manafort as potential jailbirds by the time this is all said and done.
He was one of your early picks, would say.
Even during the campaign, I thought, uh-oh, something's going to happen to this guy.
Well, Proudhon raid is never good. If the FBI does that, that means that they've gotten a warrant, and that there might be something connected to a criminal investigation.
Is that right, Brad Garrett, formerly of the FBI, now consultant for ABC News, that they would have to have a warrant, and that a pre-dawn raid is certainly a little different tack than hey
knock knock,
or even
hey FBI,
or even just a call to your lawyer, like, hey, you know what we need from you? We need some documents that would pertain to this, or could you confirm that this phone call happened? Or that's a little different, isn't it?
It's a little different.
Well, it's certainly different because you do that so people won't destroy evidence. And it's obviously a safer time to do it. I doubt if Manafort is a physical security risk issue. But the point being is that I guess they felt that there were potential items in his house that if you ask him to voluntarily bring in, maybe just wouldn't make it in.
Okay, let's talk about this just in your career and you, through your perspective. Does this happen very often in white-collar cases that you do pre-dawn raids on people's houses to get files and computers and things like that?
You'd be surprised. It happens more than you think. I didn't work white-collar crime, but I did a lot of entries for them with a SWAT team. And, yes, does it happen in every case? Of course not. But the problem, bro, is that you're really looking for paper here and computers. And both of those you can get rid of or alter some way. Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced that they were concerned that he wasn't being forthright about some of these quote-unquote allegations made against him as far as involvement with Russian politicians, Russian oligarchs, et cetera, et cetera. And so they wanted to go have a look themselves. And that's really the way to do it.
So the Washington Post, Brad, is reporting that this shows a newly aggressive technique by the special counsel, meaning that he's going to do the pre-dawn raid and the way he's going about this whole thing. Do you agree with that? Does this show that we might see more of these?
I agree that he is aggressively moving down the road. I mean, it shouldn't surprise any of us that there's a grand jury investigation now, which, gives him subpoena power. They can subpoena witnesses to come in to testify. They'll probably pull out a lot of classified documents in reference to the Russians to share with the grand jury. It will go on and on. And, you can't get much more thorough than Bob Mueller. And he doesn't talk to anybody. And the combination of the two, he's hired. I mean, look at the quality of the prosecutors he's hired. Money laundering experts, Russian experts, organized crime experts. And I guarantee you,
he's going to need them all.
The Russian organized crime person is really going to be busy because the Russians just virtually don't do any of these big business deals without organized crime being involved.
All right, let me ask you this. Do we know that this came from Mueller? Would we ever be able to know if this was an FBI show or Mueller or whatever it's going to be here?
Well, it certainly is a combination of the two because Mueller is running the case. Mueller basically is the, as you and I have talked in cases before, he's in effect the U.S. attorney for this case, which means that everything that happens goes through him because he's the coordinator. So, was he in the middle of that? Of course he was.
Hmm. So if he's been cooperating this whole time, I just want to go back to the statement by his spokesperson. Mm-hmm. He's been cooperating the whole time. Why does the FBI do a pre-dawn raid? Because they don't trust that that's true.
They don't believe it, I would think.
Of course. And that, you can say anything you want. But if they have documentation, evidence, you name it, that would support that he's saying A, but they know the answer is B, mm-hmm. then they're going to go find B, and that's why they went in there.
Yeah. 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 I'm putting him on the short list. he's just one of those guys that when that sort of thing happens, I think, you know, he and Mike Flynn, there were some things that were just not right. And you could tell, by the way, there was something about Manafort's presentation throughout the whole 2016 thing. And then when they brought him in, he seemed sort of out of place, right? And you were like, where did they find that guy? And it was sort of and you look at what his past work had been, and then you look at what his current work was. His current work was doing a lot of stuff in Eastern Europe, in Ukraine and Russia and other places. And I thought, wow, that is so weird that they would choose a guy. There are other people, for sure, who have had better careers, who probably would go work for Donald Trump, especially once once he was the nominee, which is when it happened, right? They brought him in to try to put the convention together, essentially, and then try to run a general campaign. So, he's not a character.
Well, he is, but it also fits in with when you start sort of deep diving into all these other Russian connections. I mean, like, you know, there's apparently a lot of investigation going on in reference to the 2013 Miss Universe pageant in Moscow and what was Trump's relationship with the Russians then. You know, the Russians have bought estates from him. They've bought properties from him. I think there's all sorts of issues, and there's issues with banks that were used to make certain loans in reference to their connection directly or indirectly with the Russians. So this is a investigation that, first of all, is not going away, and it's not going to get resolved in the short term.
So one of the easier things that they would be looking for, easier is the wrong word, but one of the more obvious things that they would be looking for here is financial misdeeds of some sort, you know, fraud,
right.
Tax evasion, the moving of money without, you know, obviously if you're moving money internationally, there may be ways to do that that are illegal versus legal in terms of documentation, especially large sums of money. So those are the kinds of things that they would be looking for. And if they came up with that sort of stuff that directly tied those activities or those crimes to the president of the United States, you know, the president, there's a whole argument here about whether the president can be indicted, legal argument, constitutional argument about whether the president can be indicted for past acts. I mean, they even had that back in the 1970s with Spiro Agnew when he was vice president, because they had found all this stuff that he had done illegally when he was governor of Maryland. And there was trouble afoot there in terms of figuring out what they were going to do with him. He just had to step aside, but he was the vice president at the time. If the president of the United States is sitting there and they tie him to, you know, some of these activities with Russians that turn out not to be kosher, what do they do?
Here's what they do. They'll charge. What you'll see first is people around him charge. Like you mentioned, Manafort, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe one or both of his sons. Other people that are in close proximity to him in the White House. They'll get charged first. Then if they have, you know, the legal goods, let's say, for lack of better terms, on the president, I'm going to guess what Mueller would do is he'd just turn it over to the House, who could then, you know, fire up articles of impeachment. Because if you impeach him and he gets impeached, you could then prosecute him.
Yeah.
So my guess is that's the avenue. If we ever get that far, that's the avenue they will go.
Hey, Brad, I know you're decades in the FBI. Do you trust that the FBI can't, no matter what happens here, let's say the new FBI director comes in, who people seem to like, right? He was
yeah.
Christopher Wray.
Christopher Wray has passed through very quickly through the Senate.
Right.
Seems that if you get like real FBI guys and, you know, real law enforcement and do right kind of guys, this not going to be a problem. But if you start to if this thing gets closer and closer and closer, and the administration starts to turn on the FBI, how does the FBI defend itself?
Well, you can only turn on the FBI so much. I mean, you can't literally, the president could not order them to stop investigating the Russian case. And so no matter what happens, even if he does fire Mueller, attempts to fire Mueller, this case is going to continue to get prosecuted. And, you know, he's going to end up, in my view, just digging a much bigger hole if he takes that on.
Yeah.
The short answer to your question is this case is going down the road, whether Mueller's there or not.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Brad Garrett, thank you very much. ABC News crime and terrorism analyst, formerly of the FBI. All right.
Thanks, Brad.
Let us now move on to the fun and hilarity section of the show.
What is that?
Tom Skilling will tell us if
once
it gets dark, if it'll ever get light again. Winter is coming. But first, Violetta Podomenica is the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. All right. Coming up, solar eclipse time.
I can't wait. It's going to be exciting stuff.
Chicago Bears time.
Oh, no.
It's a little over 24 hours, Coach.
Oh, boy.
Get excited.
Not quite sure what we're going to do. That's what I'm saying, Kev. Maybe you should play quarterback for us.
That's fine.
Because if you go down, who cares?
Exactly. Let's run the ball a lot, though, that game. I don't want to be dropping back to pass.
You got to hit him high. Hit him low. Got to run to the left. Run to the right. Run up the middle. 3 yards of cloud of dust. All right, who's with me?
That's how you motivate him,
Coach. I thought we were overloaded with quarterbacks. We need Kevin?
Just to protect everybody else.
Yeah, I don't want any of those quarterbacks playing. I mean, you know, maybe...
You don't want him playing.
Maybe Rusty Sanchez. I can't imagine who else.
Mark Sanchez.
Mark.
Oh, right.
It's Mark.
Right, Mark. I mean, maybe, right? I mean, that's the one guy I think that we can most afford to lose. They just spent so much. I'm just talking about protecting the investment here.
You can breathe easy when Sanchez is on the field.
Yeah, because he's very likely to get hurt anyway, because he's already kind of injurable.
End of your fingers crossed there. That's the future. That's what the Bears are hoping to be, is your future 10-year, decade-long quarterback,
you know,
the Chicago Bears.
I'll just never forget. Mm-hmm. When Rex Grossman, they had all this anticipation of Rex Grossman. And then in a preseason game, he gets grievously injured. Oh. Right? And then he was never quite the same. He was never quite the quarterback that they thought he was going to be.
Is he the Rex is our quarterback?
Rex Grossman is our quarterback.
He's our quarterback. Rex is our quarterback.
Rex Grossman. Because that just tells you what kind of a controversy constantly befalls Hallis Hall. It is the Rokan Show with Annette DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes. And don't we get to talk to Tom Skilling?
We do indeed. There he is.
Yes. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Tom.
Couldn't be better, Tom. All right, let's talk a little bit about your special tonight on the WGN-TV news. This is in the 9 o'clock show, right?
About the eclipse, absolutely.
Yes,
it's
about the eclipse. Now, I've been saying now you were going to do a minute-by-minute recitation of what's going to happen. It's getting darker. It's getting darker. It's getting darker. Oh,
right.
It's getting lighter. It's getting lighter.
One of the most fascinating aspects, I went through a near total eclipse several decades ago. And
so did
the
I.
Remember that, Ro?
Yeah, no, I don't mean
that. It was 1979 was the last one.
You know,
visible from the United States.
We were trying to figure out, that was in the Pacific Northwest. I think the one I saw was back in the early 70s. I couldn't remember the year, but it would have been when I was up at school in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But the thing I remember about it is it's really weird how everything looks. You go from day to night, and everything turns dark, and yet there's kind of an eerie look to it all, and there's a big temperature drop. Mm-hmm. It's you know, you turn off, it's like turning off our power source, and you see a 20-25 degree temperature drop.
Where are you going to be for the eclipse?
All right, we're going to be down in Carbondale. So we're going to go down there, and here in Chicago we'll see about 89% of the sun's disk covered.
That's good
by
enough
the
for
sun.
Me.
Yeah.
It's not worth the trip.
And by the way, under no circumstances should you look at it without proper glasses and all. And there's all kinds of information out there. Mm-hmm. Adler Planetarium has good information.
Great resource.
Yeah.
Do you have your glasses already, Tom?
I don't have them yet, but we will obviously get them. You know what's amazing is these little towns down toward Carbondale and all along the path of the totality, which goes from Oregon to South Carolina, they're going to have an influx of hundreds of thousands of people. And trying to find, they're warning folks, if you don't have hotel accommodations or already set up, you better think twice about going down there, because the only thing that may be available are a couple of campsites. There have been people that literally been planning for this thing for decades. They're going to go down there and see the show of a lifetime. And so, but don't think you can just get in the car and pop down there because there'll be nowhere to stay. The hotels are filled.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, we had to get a Vrbo.
VRBO.
Yeah.
Like the Airbnbs of yes. the world. They said that even they're filling up.
I know.
Full.
They are charging.
Oh, gosh.
Boku bucks.
Yes.
As they like to say. How much was your Vrbo? Do you know?
I don't know. I will research that and get back to you. But I don't think we were gouged. It seems like it was pretty
Oh, we
fair.
Got gouged in Cleveland.
We did.
Did
for
you?
The,
oh, my gosh.
The convention, yeah.
Oh, it was like a total, like, it looked like a frat house, but like room.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
But it was a lot of, it was my big, more than the Four Seasons, for sure.
Yeah, but it was close, though. It was very close to the convention, which I guess is what we wanted.
Proximity.
Yeah.
You know, CNN had this, this great report about how animals will react
yes.
to the solar eclipse, and even your dogs and your household pets, but they were talking about birds, and the birds stopped chirping, and that nocturnal animals even could read this as
They're
a moment
confused.
To come awake. And
they also say 9/11 calls skyrocket because people aren't quite sure what's going on. You know, everything turns dark all of a sudden.
That's what he said.
They're frightened.
There is very few stories, other than the Russia have been covered as thoroughly as this eclipse and will be for the next 3 weeks. And people are like, I don't know what's going on.
I know. Well, there is, it's hard to describe it. We'll all see it. There is an eerie look to everything in this reduced light environment that occurs in what ought to be the middle of the day. This will occur around just after 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it lasts for about 2 minutes and 40 seconds down in the area of totality. So it only lasts for a short period, but you can watch on satellite images as the shadow of the moon goes across the planet, and then you can watch the temperature drop in those areas, and it's really quite interesting.
Yes, it is.
Tonight we're going to look at some of the folks who are going down there. We have two observatories here. We have Triton College and Adler Planetarium, both of which are opening up public viewing areas and have programs running to educate folks about the solar eclipse.
Now, this may sound like a stupid question. And I'm used to asking stupid questions. And every politician told me I ask a stupid question.
No.
But does this have an impact, other than the temperature drop, which is obvious, does this have any other kind of weather impact because of the temperature drop or anything else?
Sure it does. I don't think it's long term. It'd be like dropping a pebble in a pond. You know, you get little ripples initially, and then they kind of fade out. But, you know, all weather on Earth is the result of differential heating, the fact that the one area gets warmer than another. So there'll be some interesting effects. It's such a short-term change, Ro.
Because it's essentially the temperature drops over a period of 20, 25 minutes, right?
And it's
comes
over,
back up.
The area of totality is only about 70 miles wide, although there's an area much larger than that in which there's a substantial reduction in the amount of solar energy.
Including here, where we're going to, as you said, about 90%.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will be eerie.
It will be.
They point out that if you miss this, I guess there's going to be another eclipse in the Carbondale area in 6 years.
Huh.
I was under the impression it'd be longer than that, but April 8th, 2024 is the next time something like that will happen. But at any rate, it's going to be something, and we'll go down there, and now...
Why does Carbondale keep getting focused on here? I don't understand.
Carbondale.
You know, it's SIU, and as Judy will tell us, that's a lot of sin has happened on that campus.
And a lot of fun, I might add.
Yeah. I mean, if it's not fun, why would one sin, right?
Well,
there's no reason not to.
Mutually
what they're
not
doing
exclusive.
There is opening up the whole football stadium. They'll have people in there, and NASA's going to be on hand. They're going to do programs in there during the thing, and people can watch it there. We were debating whether to go into the stadium. We thought it better, though, to stay outside in the stadium and see how folks are reacting to it. And, of course, we have every external extremity crossed right now, hoping it doesn't rain or turn cloudy, because the whole thing is off if that happens. But there'll be...
Oh, yeah. Well, but we're still 2 weeks,
exactly.
2 weeks in a couple days,
yeah.
Minus a couple days, right?
Exactly.
So you think about that, though, Carbondale, town of 26,000,
yeah.
and it's going to absorb at least that many in eclipse viewers. I mean, you got to think of how that taxes the resources.
Oh.
Great for the economy, I'm sure. I mean, the local economy, but wow.
Yeah.
They, preparations.
They expect an influx of hundreds of thousands. They think traffic, they may end up closing roads. And to handle, you know, the mass of people and humanity that's going to go down there to see it.
Well, you just get out of your car and you look up and then you get back in your car and you go away.
That's what they're saying to avoid.
I heard some people are going to be charging for that, too.
How do you charge for that? Just a piece of sidewalk?
Pull off into this field or this driveway and park your car. Yeah.
And again,
I heard rooms are going for thousands of dollars a night.
I would imagine that probably is going on, Judy. And again, it can't be stressed enough. It's not something any of us should be looking at with our bare eyes, you know. But what you can do is, it's interesting. It breaks between the leaves and all. You will actually see a shadow, a reflection of the solar eclipse as it's occurring. With the light that's streaming through, you know, breaks in the trees and all, and on the ground. And if you put a colander out there, the little holes in it will project the solar eclipse, so you'll actually see the disk of the sun reflected on the ground with the, you know, the disk of the moon coming across it as you do that. So a lot of different ways to look
Should
at
it. Should we point our phones at it and post it on Instagram? These are the questions that the millennials have for this.
Yeah.
How do we get this on Instagram?
Yeah, I would think as long as you're not looking at it, because you burn the retina, you know, and believe me, there's no turning back from that.
Worth an Instagram post,
no.
The retina.
Well, you know what? I don't think it'll damage your camera, but I'm not an expert on
but
that.
Don't look at it. You know, because the retina, you need your retina, as it turns out.
Wouldn't that be awful to damage your eyes for something like this? And it's not like a lunar eclipse, which you can look at, because there you're not looking at direct sunlight. But
so where can you pick up the glasses, like 7-Eleven?
You know, they're all over the place. I'm sure if you go online, I know Adler Planetarium will have information on that.
Yeah, they're giving
too.
Away like 100,000 of them or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go get us some.
Yeah.
Thanks, Vila.
But, Tom, can you actually...
I think you can order them online, too, Violetta. You know, I don't have an email address for you, but I'm sure if you just... type "where can I get glasses" on there, Google it. There'll be all kinds of information.
But make sure they're NASA approved.
And make sure that they cost over $500 and that they're not NASA approved, because that's exactly the kind of thing that will be going on.
I know. That's
but
true.
You know, Tom, can you actually look at it without squinting? And I mean, it'll be so bright you won't even really be able to look at it.
Well, no, that's the point, though. And it's like here, it's particularly dangerous.
Yeah.
Because at 90%, you'll think, well, it's dark, I can look at it, and you won't feel it until it's too late.
Right. Even a sliver, if there's even a sliver of the sun showing up around the disk of the moon, that can still damage your eyes. So the only place you can look at it at the moment of totality is when the whole disk is covered, and that'd be in that little narrow 70-mile-wide band, but then only for an instant, because obviously the disk will move off the sun, and it'll start showing up again. So... I think the advice is that, you know, don't look at it. Better safe than sorry.
Keep the glasses on for the entire duration, I would think.
Yeah. And again, this is a week from this Monday. So this coming Monday is when it takes place, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll start reporting on it. We're going to do our first feed at 5 o'clock on the Sunday show, a week from this Sunday. And then we'll be on the morning shows, and we'll break in live. As it's going on, providing we're in a place where there's sunshine. So
will you
we'll
be doing
this.
Like the play-by-play kind of thing, Tom?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Are the astronauts in space able to see this?
They'll see the shadow, and our weather satellites will see it.
Nice.
You know, so you'll be able to see the shadow on the... I'm sure we'll be animating that that night on the weather shows.
I bet they're going to have a great picture for Instagram.
I think so.
From the International Space Station?
Yeah.
I don't know how many Americans are up there right now.
There's one fellow up there, one astronaut, who's always great about sending
posting
images down. Yeah. So, believe me, I'm sure NASA will have it all over all their sites, because they do such a great job of visualizing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
how exciting!
Yeah, it's kind of neat, isn't it?
It is.
30 years in the making, or something like that.
Yeah, and it better not rain.
I kind of want to look at it more like hundreds of billions of years in the making, but that's just me. I'm just going to kind of look at it like that. I'm going to take a longer view. I'm closer to 100 billion years old than Violetta is, so I'm going to look at it that way.
Yeah, we've been around. We relics, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're familiar with the problem.
Yeah.
Kids.
Boy, when we were young, walking to school through the snow.
Back in my day, we actually looked at the eclipse, and we liked it.
And our retinas hurt now.
We didn't have any of these fancy glasses back then. Who needed those in 79 or whatever?
Kind of a penny waste, where's those glasses?
Tell you. You know, every time you, I've got to tell you, I've mentioned this before, but every time you go into the Coach Fox thing, you know, that's it. I can't work. I have to.
Yeah, preseason opener tomorrow night, Tom.
I know,
with Coach
we're
Fox.
That's right, Tom. Tom, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did you ever play offensive line?
Coach, let me tell
doesn't
you.
Matter. If I ever, don't even answer. Because Kyle Long, he's got to get an ankle. And we're asking people to come out of the stands tomorrow.
Yeah.
Maybe play the game for us. If you don't mind. I won't use the whole game. Maybe just the first half.
Coach, let me tell you something. You put me out of that field, we're in real trouble.
We are in real trouble,
real
Tom.
Trouble,
we're in real trouble.
I know you're worried. I've heard you expressing this to Kevin.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't tell anybody, though.
No, you're hiding it well.
Right.
I just figured that no one listens to this show, so we'll be fine.
He's exuding confidence for all of
us. I know.
Yeah, no one's worried.
Anna, how do you sit there and get through this? I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. We haven't heard from certain people in a while, and that's a good thing.
Gotcha,
The one guy I would have assumed comes out and talks about the eclipse hasn't. He's been away for a while.
He's making his own glasses down in the basement
right now.
I can't imagine what his prepping has been like for the nuclear war talks.
See, that's the thing. I would have thought we'd have heard about that, but I'm sure another day.
A lot of foil, and he's busy.
There's been actually there was a at the local jewel. Someone stole all the tinfoil.
Oh gosh!
I don't know if they have a suspect in custody.
They wanted him to get out.
Yeah,
take it.
Exactly. He didn't look at it as stealing, you know. It's more of a means of survival.
This is very
the means justifies
this is Walking Dead is the kind of territory that we're in right now. All right, well, Tom, we look forward to this tonight. What time is this going to be on tonight?
It'll be on our 9 o'clock show tonight. I don't have the exact time for you. It'll be
watch the whole show. That's what we got to do. I get it. I understand, Tom.
Yeah. How's that for a tease?
I don't understand, Tom.
The marketing department's like, Tom, good job.
But honestly, I've got to tell you guys, it's not premeditated. I honestly don't know. I haven't checked on the time yet.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
You do 5 hours of television a day. You can't do 60 minutes of football.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Good point. Well, there are people better.
I'll sign you up, Tom. Oh, you're good.
Thanks, Coach.
Expect you there tomorrow about 5:30.
Okay.
Seems late.
Oh.
The less time you have to think about, the better.
Yeah. Heaven help us all if that ever comes to pass, even remotely close. But no, I think I'll stick, Coach, if you don't mind, to forecasting the weather.
I mind.
You mind?
I mind, yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to recruit as many people as I can right now.
Get Kevin out there.
He's already a quarterback.
He's suiting up.
And, Tom, is there going to be rain for the game tomorrow night? Or is Coach Fox
going
to be okay?
You know, that's all they need.
Because I thought I saw that in your forecast. Maybe I'm wrong.
It looks now like
good?
We can get scattered stuff in here.
All right, that's it. We're calling the game off.
That's Coach Fox's house.
That's all it took, huh, Coach?
That's it.
I can't play in rain.
Scattered stuff. I can't afford scattered stuff. We can't.
No.
You know, it's Tom going to call right now.
The grass gets
NFL,
really slippery.
Until we go, we can't do it because we're expecting scattered.
There you go.
Tom, a guy sprained his ankle in a walkthrough, so I don't even want to know what's going to happen to these guys on a wet surface.
Another guy in a meeting broke his ACL.
No.
So, I mean, that's basically what happened.
It's a bit of a stretch. Close
a
to
bit.
It, though. Yeah,
yeah.
Close to
it. Well, we should have been stretching.
And the point is that this was, and I mean, that we were already, it was bad last year. I don't see this getting markedly different here, and I just, why risk people when you can use civilians?
Good point.
Human shields.
We want to see how this team gels with all these new quarterbacks and new players. It's
gel schmel. Let me tell you something. Once we have week one, then we'll be fine.
Okay.
And then, of course, we have to come back and play week two.
Right. Well, that's,
that's going to be a problem.
Problem.
Real problem.
I'll tell you, Coach, I'm eternally optimistic.
Okay. You can be.
You feeling good about the quarterbacks, the new quarterbacks,
I
and
am.
Bears?
We're
and
not here. Look at these guys.
So, this is good. No,
I like that,
I'm
Tom.
Keeping my fingers crossed here.
Okay.
All right, Tom. Thank you. We'll see you tonight.
We'll watch for your story tonight.
Right, thank you, guys.
Thanks,
take care.
All right. The WGN traffic trouble spots are being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com and check it out today.
All right, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Okay, we had Mr. Tom Skilling
it's
here.
Great to hear from Tom.
It was great to hear Coach. Coach Fox is recruiting for tomorrow night's game. He is going to prefer that none of his players actually play.
Doesn't want anybody to get injured, so he's looking for civilians.
So he's looking for fans. So if anybody who's in the stadium or people, that he has contact with, more than happy. It's
maybe a good strategy.
He's calling it Bear for a Day.
I'm volunteering.
Because it's really better than having, they've lined up ambulances. The fire department's already prepared.
So what could go wrong? It could be fine.
Exactly.
It'd be a nice experience to be a bear for the day.
Exactly. So if anybody, and they're not asking that you have any of the skills because it's more fun that way.
Just take the hits.
Yeah. I have a feeling. I just remember that Rex Grossman moment.
Oh, gosh.
And they remember they had to hold him for a whole other year. Because of that, it was like, doubly.
And that was a preseason injury.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Whew. Yes, I think it was game one or game two of the preseason, too. It was like something, if you could look that up, that was something. Mm-hmm. Then next thing you know, it was never quite the same. And we paid a lot for this Mitchell Trubisky. Hell, we played a lot for Glennon. We are no team has paid more for quarterbacks.
Yeah, he broke his ankle in 05 in a preseason game. Rex Grossman did.
Broke his ankle.
Right. But wasn't that his first, second season or first season?
They drafted him in 03, so that would have been his
third. Well, 03, yeah. Right? Yes. So that would have been, he didn't play in 03. He played in 04. And then in the preseason of 05, broke his ankle. And then we're like,
There he goes. There goes the season.
And he was never quite the same. I mean, he's really – Rex Grossman is an under – I mean, he stayed in the NFL after he left the Bears for a number of years. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a –
he was their Super Bowl quarterback.
Took him to the Super Bowl.
He had a great arm. He had very small hands, though. And that was a bit of a problem. And the ball rotated the wrong way because he threw it the wrong hand.
They weren't smaller. The biggest hands of all time in the history of the NFL.
No, even he admitted they were small hands.
He's like, yeah.
Yeah, I got small hands. Yeah. So his grip on the ball was a little different. But it was he had a good run. And he knew how to play the position.
A little undersized as well.
Yeah.
That was sort of his issue.
No, that's not the problem with this Glennon guy.
No. No.
Glennon is like Hodor. I mean, he's like, that's Hodor. It's big.
Tall.
It's very big. He's going to carry Jeremy Langford up and down the field.
Among the 90 players or so on the practice field, he is by far the easiest to identify.
Right.
Oh, there's Glennon. You don't even...
He's got reddish blonde hair.
Kids walking in. That's clearly Glennon, right, Dad?
Is that the new quarterback?
Because Glennon actually makes eye contact with people in the first 50 rows.
Right. Is he looking at me?
Like, wait a minute.
You're in the bathroom
those
line like 400 yards away.
There.
And he takes gigantic strides too. That's the good thing. Like, it's like Jurassic Park when he walks in. You know he's there.
Good.
The only problem is that Tyrannosaurus has had that short arm problem. They were bad with picking up checks and also throwing over 30 yards.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited about him.
All right. You'll be very excited. You'll see it tomorrow.
Gonna get to see it.
Oh God.
All happen.
Oh God.
It's gonna be great.
All right. Here is Judy Pilek standing by with the WGN News 2 Minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Mitch Trubisky just made his first unforced error. He hasn't even played a game yet. He identified his greatest basketball player of all time, LeBron James.
Classic millennial talk right there.
He's in Chicago. LeBron James.
He's from Ohio, though, right?
Yeah.
Isn't Trubisky from Ohio originally?
Yes.
From Cleveland.
He's a Cavaliers fan.
Yeah.
Grew up watching him.
Remember, he was pulling for them in the NBA Finals.
But he went to college in North Carolina.
He did.
Yeah, but he's from Northeast Ohio. I don't blame him for that. I'm not gonna blame him.
MJ went to college in North Carolina.
They should have a file of about 10.
That's a good point.
10 to 20 questions they give Chicago Bears quarterbacks when brought here. Be like, these are the correct answers. No matter,
no
matter what you think, these are the correct answers to the questions you'll be asked.
The number one question should always be asked, where does it hurt?
Where does it hurt? Point to the area of the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the bad lineman touch you? These are all of the questions that should be asked.
Favorite coach of all time, Ditka.
Ditka, of course. What sort of encased meat do you enjoy? Pull a sausage.
Absolutely right. And then the ketchup hot dog, you can get to that later. But, you know, there are just some gimmies that you got to get out there.
Some layups.
Yeah.
That's the point.
That's all.
Well, all right. I just think that Mitchell Trubisky is going to have to play half a game with the Bears scrubs tomorrow.
Good to see him out there.
Against the Broncos scrubs, I guess that's the one. I guess that's some consolation to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say to him, it was really nice knowing him. I don't care. I mean, we should ask him, what does he want for his last meal?
Last meal?
he'd get something real hearty, you know, as a Midwest guy.
Yeah.
Sure. At least we don't have to worry about him getting destroyed by Von Miller, the Broncos all pro defensive end. He's a first teamer. Will likely, if he plays much at all, he'll be done by the
What if they bring Von Miller in just for one play?
Then you get Trubisky out of there. I don't care what it takes.
Sanchez! Put your helmet on!
Call every timeout. Even if you're out of them, start calling timeout. Start throwing challenge flags out there.
Or just do the take a knee. Take a knee!
Stop the play on the field.
Take a knee!
Although that's a little cringeworthy because that's when Trubisky has to get under center. And we've seen him struggle a bit with that because he's fumbled a few balls, taking snaps. He's used to taking, you know, the shotgun snaps. So that's how they were ending practice the other day with him under center. And you just feel like, I don't know. Even this doesn't look too good. Never feel too safe there. He's got to work on a few things.
I am so looking forward to this. I can't even tell you.
So am I.
I mean, this is really going to be something.
There was some talk, too. What would you guys set the over-under on attendance tomorrow night? Because some people were thinking...
Well, preseason's always a little hinky.
But some people were going real low, and some people thought it could be close to a sellout. Well, and I'm interested to see how many people are actually going to go.
Right, well, hold on.
What do you mean? You're going to come up with
your... Cover me for a second here. I'm going to see what the aftermarket is charging
for. Well, I think the problem we've seen in Bears games past, and not so much the preseason, but even the regular season, people were leaving in the fourth quarter because the playing was that bad. So it's also, how long do you hold them?
It may be the opposite tomorrow night. People not showing up till halftime just to see Trubisky in the second half.
That's true.
Sports is really not my thing, but I'm genuinely excited for this season.
You are excited.
I am. I just feel like it's exciting. A lot of new stuff.
Well, I would say this, that the most of the reports you hear from camp, this is one of the more exciting bunch of rookies you've seen at Bears camp in a while.
And to see how they click and,
between Trubisky and Adam Shaheen, the tight end, Tariq Cohen, that's the, as Roe was referring to him, the little human joystick who's just juking guys out. He's about as tiny as Violetta, so that should give you hope, Violetta, that you can play in the NFL someday.
I never dreamed of that.
5'4", 5'5".
No way.
This guy can fly, and he's hard to find for defensive players because he just sort of tucks underneath the big 6'5 offensive lineman, bounces around, finds a hole, and pops out. So I think there's some interesting guys. Eddie Jackson, the safety out of Alabama, that's a guy to look after. So there's a lot of players, I think, that
make it exciting.
The fan base has already started to, I don't want to say attached to, that might be a bit of an overstatement. But there's a lot of players to watch.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what jerseys sell immediately, too.
That was interesting you say that, because that was one of the first things I wanted to see. Because over the past few years, it was... You know, you go to a Bears game and all you see is past players' jerseys. And that was sort of kept. You see a lot of Urlachers and
Peyton, of course.
Right. And Briggs.
Butkus.
Oh, yeah.
You
even the throwbacks for sure. Yeah. You don't see a lot of current player jerseys. So at camp, I saw a Jordan Howard. I did see a Jay Cutler. I saw a lot of Urlachers. I saw Butkus.
Butkus. And you pronounce that properly, by the way.
Butkus.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of Trubisky's.
If there's a T and a K next to each other in any iteration,
pronounced.
Do not.
Oh, you don't pronounce it.
You do not pronounce it.
Okay. I just thought it was Ditka. There's like a strong way.
Ditka.
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 It's Ditka Butkus.
Yeah, and I remember going.
Hey, I have the tickets here.
What do you got?
All right. First of all, there are plenty of tickets available for tomorrow night. But the most expensive ticket is $546. And this is it's a bit of a joke. It's somebody who's putting it up because it's section 309. It's on the 50-yard line, but it's at the very top
of
the stadium.
What's the price?
$546 a ticket.
So is that a combination of Urlacher and Cutler's numbers or some sort of play on that?
Well,
whatever. That's what I thought of immediately.
Yeah,
this sports
maybe.
Guy putting
yeah.
jerseys to
yeah, maybe.
To numbers.
The tickets are for decent tickets, like 50-yard line tickets.
Okay.
And this is section 209. These are, you know, second row up. They're $250 a piece, $240, $230, going down from there, about $200. And then when you get out into the corners, there are tickets, and there's a lot of them available for like $20 and $30.
And a lot of people play, you know, StubHub roulette. Mm-hmm. They wait until like
the last minute.
How long can I wait?
Do
How
really,
low will these go?
Do they really go down? Because I find like an hour or two before, with enough time to get there for the beginning of the game, they're still pretty high. You almost have to miss part of the game, don't you? In order to
I guess. Up? Or maybe there's people lingering in the tailgate lot. Like, yeah, maybe I'll go in if the tickets are a good price. And then they finally
but
see it go
call.
Down. I'm not a secondary ticket market expert here. I normally just...
No, I am.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've tried to play that,
I
usually
study
lose.
The secondary ticket markets normally.
Yeah. No.
Sports games and Disney shows.
Yeah, I'm famous for 15 minutes before some event deciding to buy a ticket for it. Yeah.
So will you be going tomorrow night to see the debut of Mitch Trubisky?
I don't think I will. No, I'd like to watch it on television to get some, you know, deep analysis,
mm-hmm.
Literally psychological analysis.
Yes.
For this, is this a network game? By the way,
I don't believe so. But normally it's the. You have the local crew for the
So Sweet Lou will be on. Is it on Fox tomorrow?
Yeah, they're almost always on Fox, all their preseason games. And normally it's a combo of, I don't know who's doing play-by-play, but a lot of times it's Jim Miller in the booth. Didn't they have Dicka do it a few years ago, I want to say?
Dicka!
I'll look into the broadcast for
fun.
The preseason opener.
A friend of the show says they were at the Chicago Bears pro shop, and there were only two Mitch Trubisky jerseys left. So people are
Look at that. They're flying off
there
the shelves.
You go.
I got some, by the way. I want people to wear them.
See, can you find out if we get Sweet Lou? Can we try to get Sweet Lou on the blower right now and ask him who's going to be doing the... let's do Violetta's WGN All right. Traffic Trouble Spots, and then we will try to see if we can get Lou Canellis
okay.
to join us very quickly here. I made the unfortunate mistake of forgetting that Lou is going on the air now.
Oh.
Over at the Fox 32. I forgot that they have a 5 o'clock show over there now, and Lou's working.
So he's busy.
He'll be working tomorrow night, too.
I hate when people call me and go, all right, yeah, I'm going to call you tomorrow at 4:15. You're going to have to answer the phone. I'm like,
busy.
I kind of do. Yeah, and they're like, oh. That's
and then they
right.
call you anyway
yeah.
at 4:15.
Oh, you still do that little thing?
Mm-hmm. My mother does that, actually. She calls me at 4:15 in the
family
afternoon.
Family members are the worst.
Yeah.
They just, yeah. They know, and yet somehow, right, that's how it works out.
My mom thinks I'm on the show all day on the station. She's like, oh, my
that's
God.
That's because you tell her that.
I was listening to Bill and Wendy. Why didn't you try? I'm like, that's not the show I'm on.
I was listening to Nick DiGilio. Where were you?
Well, then they hope that you're in bed at home, probably. Let's hope.
Of course I am. Where else would I be, Anna?
Exactly.
Where else would you be?
That is so true, Anna.
I know. Silly me for suggesting
it's not
that.
A pillow underneath my blanket with a mop.
Mop.
A blonde mop, though. They had to. They actually had to dye a mop. She took the mop to the same place she gets her hair dyed. And goes, what do you keep
Brilliant.
Doing with this thing?
Brilliant.
I even use Ovation Cell Therapy on it.
Oh,
there you go.
Come on.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. That's how we treat our sponsors around here.
Lots of mentions. Lots
All
of
right.
plugs.
Yeah, we got a lot to get to here. We got a top 5 coming your way. Mm-hmm. I love this story. Anger rooms are all the rage.
Anger rooms.
Anger rooms.
Just kind of let out your rage.
I suppose.
Sounds dangerous.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just people who have to do that, right? There's people who just get angry at everything.
Yeah,
I don't know anyone like that.
I prefer the relaxation pod. Remember they were saying that for a while their companies were investing in those for people to go and their lunch hour. Just kind of
I feel like if
out.
You were in a relaxation pod, though, wouldn't you like scream just for, like for a second if it was soundproof?
If you got claustrophobic or something?
No, just to get some anger out.
No, I would relax.
Are you a screamer? Are you a thrower? Are you a slammer of doors?
Yeah. The worst is when you try to slam a door or you have a slow closing door and it won't slam. You're like, God, I'm so angry. This is supposed to slam.
Or it's got that little thing on the bottom that kind of keeps it from slamming.
You're like, let me try that one more time. People are laughing at you. I'm like, this is not the way it's
supposed
to go.
I am really angry right here.
I was home last night.
I swear.
There's not a mop in my bed.
Vicky, can you? Where is mop?
Oh my, ew, don't even. That sounded way too familiar.
Oh my gosh. Like,
and you perfect. Know she doesn't think that I'm actually using it to clean the house, so.
Well, she knows you're not.
Right, right.
She also wants to know why the mop was dyed, the color that it was dyed. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. A beautiful summer afternoon in Chicago.
Boy, isn't it?
Late
really
summer
is.
Afternoon now. Oh, man.
Why'd you have to say that?
I don't know. Why'd I have to think it?
It's so gorgeous this time of year.
It's a great time of year. It's a romantic time of year. There's something romantic. I don't know. There's something about August.
Well, usually it's kind of hot and sweaty, isn't it? I mean, that's what you're doing.
Don't you know?
So there
it.
You go.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what you tying together there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hot and sweaty.
Thank you, Coach.
Makes you thirsty. Also, just
most
hearing
people.
Coach Fox talk makes me thirsty.
Me too.
Combine that with this August heat. Look out. Sports office is getting hot.
All right. You know what it's time for. We might as well get
we
right
do.
To it.
It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
All right, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Number 5.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson made a brief refueling stop in Guam on his way back from the economic summit, ASEAN summit, in Malaysia. Now, I wonder if when he landed, he goes, well, let's get the hell out of here. Let's make this quick, huh?
Telling everyone else to sleep well, but... we'll see.
Leave the engine running. I know you're not supposed to refuel like it, but keep it running. Here's what Sexy Rexy, as I like to call him, said about the whole fire and fury thing from the president yesterday.
The pressure is starting to show. I think that's why the rhetoric coming out of Pyongyang is beginning to become louder and more threatening. Whether we've got them backed into a corner or not is difficult to say, but diplomatically, you never like to have someone in a corner without a way for them to get out. And I think Americans should sleep well at night, have no concerns about this particular rhetoric of the last few days.
That plane is moving, by the way.
Oh, boy, hauling.
Just the hell out of here!
So he's basically saying the opposite of what so many others are saying who are concerned about the tone of the president's comments. He's saying this is the language Kim Jong-un understands.
Yeah, well, they had to come up with something because the president did it, said it off the top of his head. That is now widely reported, and it was not something that they it was not a talking point that the State Department had generated, or even that his own people had generated. The president's own private staff had generated. So he just that was an ad lib, and then they had to go and cover the ad lib because he's has a tendency to exaggerate, a little oversell. He also, he tweeted today that, don't worry, I've just upgraded our whole nuclear arsenal.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry.
It's not true. He didn't just upgrade the whole nuclear arsenal. The nuclear arsenal has, during the last administration, Congress approved a $1 trillion upgrade. $1 trillion upgrade for the nuclear program, but it's going to take a decade to get it done, over a decade to get it done. And the president, President Trump, did order a review of that to make sure that they're going to spend the $1 trillion properly. But
yeah,
that's not an upgrade. So this is, when he says something that are so provably incorrect. I know that this whole argument now is that he just is talking to his base, so that's all that counts, and they'll listen to anything he has to say. At some point, those people who have been very, very supportive of him are going to stop and go, well, I guess that wasn't true. I mean, how many times are they going to have to go? Does it start to make certain sense? Because it's not like most politicians lie by doing it just sort of subtly. right? Or saying something that's so political, that's so vague that you don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The president doesn't like vague. He doesn't like to leave any wiggle room.
Absolutes. He does speak in absolutes.
All right. Well, that's coming up, by the way. There's kind of an interesting absolute coming up here. But
number four.
Now, this is during a press conference today at the State Department. Heather Nauert, who is the new spokesperson for the state.
Mm-hmm. Formerly, she did a very good job today, I thought. But a lot of people think that Cameron Diaz is our new spokesperson for the State Department because she does bear a resemblance to Cameron Diaz, if you think about it.
A very strong resemblance. She's a former Fox reporter, right?
Mm-hmm. She is.
She says that the president's fire and fury warning to North Korea is completely defensible. It's okay to warn North Korea. She was asked about the claims from many in Congress that the warning was actually alarming.
It was a good week for diplomacy. I know you all want to obsess over statements and all of that and try to want to make a lot of noise out of that. But what is important to keep in mind is that this diplomatic pressure at ASEAN at the meeting of the 10 Asian nations, along with the United States, came to a joint agreement and a joint statement and put out a very strong condemnation of North Korea. We are all singing from the same hymn book.
Can I just issue with your choice of the word obsess? I mean, we're not obsessing about this. This is the president of the United States threatening a nuclear-armed country, whether you want to accept it or not, a country that is armed with nuclear weapons, with fire and fury, the likes of which the world has never seen. I don't think that it's obsessing to want to know what to have a further clarification of exactly what that means and whether or not it means that you're preparing to send fire and fury raining down on the North Korean regime.
And I'll let the president's statement stand for itself.
Of course.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, it's not obsessing to want to know more.
You know what? I see a packed room of journalists here, and normally there aren't half as many as there are here today. So that shows a greater indication of your level of interest.
Heather, they're all here for you, not for the
They're here for you, Matt Lee.
Oh, God.
Exchange. She was trying to back away from having to just go in depth about describing the fire and fury comments and what that actually means, and she wouldn't.
Well, to make that seem like that's business as usual.
Well, you wouldn't.
To have the president of the United States. I just want to stop here for a second and just focus on this moment. To stop and think that yesterday we had the president of the United States threatening to annihilate another country. Now, it's a bad country. It's the country that we probably, if we were going to annihilate a regime somewhere in the world, that would be one that people would want to annihilate. But that is, in order to attempt to do that, it would require megadeth on the Korean Peninsula, and more than half the Korean Peninsula are one of our closest allies. So let's just stop and think. That's a big deal. That's not normal. I mean, I know how many times people got to say that. It's not normal. This isn't normal. And this isn't just diplomacy that you make up as you go along, because you got allies. They're like, wait, did he just say that?
I remember exactly where I was sitting at the time he said it. It was pretty chilling to hear that.
Hey, this is kind of interesting, too. We went into the archives. We found this. In October of 1999, Donald Trump was on Meet the Press with Tim Russert,
mm-hmm.
who asked if he were president, what would he do about North Korea?
You say that you, as president, would be willing to launch a preemptive strike against North Korea's nuclear capability.
First, I'd negotiate. I would negotiate like crazy, and I'd make sure that we tried to get the best deal possible. Look, Tim, if a man walks up to you in a street in Washington, because this doesn't happen, of course, in New York, but if a man walks up and puts a gun to your head and says, give me your money, wouldn't you rather know where he's coming from before he had the gun in his hand?
First of all, why was he on Meet the Press back then?
He was always on. That CNN Fareed Zakaria documentary that they did.
Oh, it was excellent.
Why Trump Won. Was fascinating because they showed Trump a great interview that he did with Rona Barrett in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, first of all, he looked just like his son, Eric. He was so young
really
looking.
Yeah, you saw that resemblance.
Young and dashing and soft spoken. and thoughtful in his presentation. And I'm like, where did this guy come from? And it's and you start to see they did the evolution of Trump as a political figure and how he, you know, how and why he chose to keep amping up the rhetoric. But it shows what a an actual process that was. And also what you know, a polite and dashing young man he was.
You want that guy back?
I want that guy back. I mean, but it just shows he knows how to do it. This is not it. I mean, this is weird. This is just very weird. It's just, I don't know. This, the fact that we have to talk about thermonuclear war right now is not something that, that makes me feel better.
Not at all.
All right. Let us check our three, our two, and our one. But first, Violetta's got the check on the WGN Trouble Spots.
Then there's this. Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook. Tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN TV. Your pick could be Chicago's Best.
All right, we continue on with the top five at five at
number three.
Floyd Mayweather spoke to Stephen A. Smith about how the Conor McGregor fight was orchestrated. McGregor's language and how he's fighting for a cause. He says now on paper, McGregor looks like the favorite in their fight because of his youth and his skills, but
he's a lot younger. You know, when you look at the two on paper, when you look at myself and you look at Conor McGregor on paper, he's taller. Has a longer reach. He's a bigger man from top to bottom. A lot younger. So youth is on his side. And I've been off a couple years. So, and now I'm in my 40s. So, you know, if you look at everything on paper, it leans towards Conor McGregor.
What is he doing there?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you exactly. Well, he's doing because he's trying to move the line.
He's a great show promoter.
Yeah, because he's trying to move the line because right now the line... It is overwhelmingly in favor, of Mayweather.
Because Conor McGregor isn't a boxer,
right? And they're boxing. They're not. He's not doing that thing where he like gets on the ground, scissor kicks him, and then shoves his junk in the guy's face or whatever they do there in Ultimate Fighting.
No, I can't watch it. I'm yeah.
It's ridiculous. They bite each
sport.
Other and they do gouging things.
They're always bleeding. And, yeah.
It's ridiculous. But they're going to be boxing. So the idea here is that Conor McGregor is. You know, and he's a fierce underdog. I mean, it's one of the most lopsided lines I've ever seen.
Well, it's one of the best boxers in the history of the sport against a guy who's never professionally boxed before.
I totally understand that.
Right, yeah.
That's why Kevin Powell's going to be playing for the Bears
tomorrow. Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Coach already got Kevin to be the quarterback tomorrow.
They're sacrificing me in lieu of the actual football
player. And Lou. Speaking of Lou.
Lou
Canellis.
Will be there. He'll be the one reporting on my injury.
Lou Canellis in a big, big, fat, not pink tie is going to get under center. They're just going to put a helmet on him. And they're going to just snap the ball and then run the other way, Lou.
That's right, Lou. Run the other way. Worst thing is it costs us 2 points.
Anyway, that's how that's going. Oh boy. So he's got to do that to try to move the line and also sell the
right, because there's also, I think, some
pay-per-view.
Fatigue. Like everyone's like, it's going to be a blowout. That's all we keep hearing. And then someone hears this, they're like, okay, maybe I will tune in if this guy doesn't think he's going to absolutely kill the guy. And of course, the line. He's a good show promoter. He gets it.
All right.
Okay.
Checking in at
number two.
Now, last month, Michael Vick had social media buzzing for weeks after he took to Fox Sports One's Speak for Yourself and offered up a suggestion for Colin Kaepernick to rebuild his image.
Hey, first thing we got to get Colin to do is cut his hair. You know, I mean, listen, I'm not up here to try to be politically correct, but. You know, you're already dealing with a lot of controversy surrounding this issue. You know, just try to be presentable. Mm.
All right.
It's his hair that's the problem.
Well, a lot of people got mad at him for that.
For his hair?
Well, for saying that.
Oh, for Michael Vick.
For Michael Vick saying, well, you should cut your hair.
Yeah.
You should also stop hanging dogs. I mean, there's things
right.
You should stop doing.
Exactly. Drowning them and whatever he was doing.
So then his wife, Kajifa Vick... Mm-hmm. She was on the reality show Baller Wives.
Is that what Trump was trying to type out?
Covfefe? Maybe that was it.
I love Kajifa. I love Baller Wives. Big fan.
Baller Wives. I don't watch fake CNN, but I watch Baller
Wives. I love Baller Wives. CNN's fake news. Baller Wives is totally real.
She says she is tired of being attacked by trolls because she has a dumb husband.
What was these statements that you made?
Oh, what I said the other day about Cap?
Yes. Why does he have to change his hair for him to get a job?
He don't. I wasn't referring to the hair as that. I don't know, Cap, I was wrong.
But that doesn't make it right. And I know you know that it doesn't make it right.
I know I was wrong with what I said and the way it came out.
You know what you're going to be banned from?
Sometimes a loss is a lesson.
You know what you're going to be banned from this week?
What?
Banned from the booty.
Who cares?
You care about the booty.
I care.
I know you care about the booty.
You know, I wouldn't say that to a baller. You know?
Why not?
Because, you know.
Because there's plenty of booty to go
around. There's a lot of booty to go around. Say that to a baller. I mean, that's totally true, by the way. That's why I love that show. Nothing but booty. Booty here, booty there, everywhere booty.
Yeah.
More booty than the world has ever seen.
Right. A lot of things to grab.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But if he goes elsewhere for the booty, then there's a bigger problem for him, I think. If you just heard her.
Yes, that's probably true. Then she'll get the booty. I don't get that.
Yeah.
Only they do get that. All right. And finally. Wait, no. No, 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 no.
Number one.
There we go.
The internet is erupting after a video posted on social media shows a couple shamelessly having nookie in public at the Wisconsin State Fair.
Did you see this? It's incredible.
The man as a fully naked booty himself.
Speaking of.
Featured conspicuously. Wait, I see it. No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Yes, I do.
They didn't care that they were being videotaped.
The couple continued on for a couple of minutes with the apparent knowledge that they were being watched and filmed. And one man pauses from his work. And waves to someone's cell phone camera with a grin.
Totally didn't care.
What do you make of that?
Honestly, man, I can't believe they would do that here, but, you know, I guess that was their decision, you know?
I wouldn't think you'd see something like that here. This is for families. Not that. There's place for that. Go home.
Oh, and he's like waving like, hey, what's up? I'm on TV. All right. You know, we're here for a horse show or a dog show, not to make babies.
It was in the concession seating area where people bring their hot dogs and sit down with the family. This guy's, I mean, full view.
Not getting a corn dog after that.
They're like on some bleachers or something.
Yeah, where you sit for the concessions.
Oh.
To eat your food.
And his pants are fully on the floor. You can see them on the floor next to him.
Danny, what game is this?
There was no effort to hide this even. I mean, my gosh. People know shame.
Ma! What are those people doing?
I need cash. What game is that?
Where are the corn dogs? It's making me hungry!
Said no one. Oh my gosh. You've seen this video.
Oh my God.
Can you believe it?
Imagine.
I mean, please.
Honey, did you spill a drink here? All right. Okay. It's just.
What's wrong with people?
I, you know what?
Well, at least they were married.
Orion, I'm sorry you had to be here for this.
The top five at five.
Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, we got a lot of stories to get to here. None of which involve, thermonuclear war or Washington.
Gotta
ready?
Wait from that.
All right, researchers. Thank God for researchers because they create all kinds of important things for us.
And sometimes some studies that seem not altogether nonsense.
Well, here we go. Researchers have found out that there are optimum times for certain things in the day that you should do. Mm-hmm. Like if you're doing something in the day, there's a time of day that, where you do it best.
Okay, like sleeping at night.
Something a little more specific than that, but yes, okay. That we kind of knew.
This is going to, okay, I'm ready. Ready right, here we go. Something I didn't
All right.
know.
For example, concentration. Your ability to concentrate on an issue
mm-hmm.
peaks at 9:45 a.m.
Yep, I believe that.
I doubt that for myself.
Are you awake at that time?
3 hours after waking up.
3 hours.
It's not 9:45 for Violetta and Kev, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, but your peak concentration is 3 hours after you wake up, no matter when it is. So they say like 9:45 in the morning. It's the best.
Yep.
Okay.
That makes sense. It really does.
The time where you're most likely to crave sugar or a snack?
Afternoon.
Midnight.
3:30 p.m.
Yep.
And 8:15 p.m.
You need a little energy boost.
Yeah, you do. Just to finish off the day. I agree with that. I used to have a chocolate drawer at work.
And I could use a chocolate bar right now.
Right. I could, too. And this I guess it's not 3:15, but it's, you know, we're past due for our chocolate bars.
Okay.
Turns out.
The best time for an alcoholic drink is 6:10.
In the morning?
That is hour 10 past the time that I think is the best time for an alcoholic drink.
I mean, when is a bad time?
And you want that, and there's a reason for that. You want that 4 hours before bed to aid liver recovery.
Oh.
That's interesting. Well, you know, the one thing, here's the one thing I've learned over the years,
mm-hmm.
is that if you do some day drinking, mm-hmm. if you stop by 5-6 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. you just have dinner and you relax the evening, don't have any more drinks, it limits the amount of hangover for the next day.
Oh, yeah, because you've started the recovery period right. already.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Start early, end early.
Yeah. I thought you meant day drink, take a nap, and continue drinking.
No.
Well, the old double drunk.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That's
That's like a 4-day hangover.
I can't. It just hurts even thinking about that. You've had or had not?
I have not, because I take the nap, you know, after I did a little day drinking, and then I never want to wake up. I wake up at like 8 at night. I'm like, where am I? What day is it?
Oh, my God. 60 minutes is over already.
I know, you wake up to that. It's terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sunday scary soundtrack right there.
Yep, that's what it is.
Totally so, is.
Yeah, you don't want that. And the only day for day drinking, really, as far as I'm concerned, is Sunday. Because people frown on it during the work week.
On a Tuesday?
On a Tuesday. And
walking through Walgreens drunk.
Right, and Sunday fun day. You know, it's kind of my thing. If there's going to be day drinking, it's generally in football season.
Yeah, I was going to say, with football season, you're right. People have
got
their
the
beers.
Grill going.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears are losing.
And you drink more.
Crack open a cold one.
Yeah. You just try to stay as sort of in the.
A steady.
Yeah.
Tipsy.
As you can be. And you got to go, and you can't go with the heavy stuff. You got to go, you know.
Stay with like a light beer.
Go with a bloody, mix in a couple beers.
Yeah. I would say rosé all day, but that's hard to say at a football party.
Yeah,
rosé all day, gentlemen?
Guys, I got bratwurst and rosé. Let's get it going.
Game on. Yeah, not popular. I can't imagine. Well, although, I'd like
later.
That party. I would be very happy at that party.
Yeah. This is not good with the guys.
Yeah. Wait, what? What was the second part of that?
Wait, what did he just say?
What's his rosé stuff?
You think we could swirly him in his own bathroom? all right, and now the best time for nuptials.
Oh,
anybody want to hazard a guess there?
Morning,
best time of day. All right, Anna says morning.
Yeah, it seemed morning.
At any state fair,
a little midnight to us.
Okay, any specific time in the morning?
Time of the day, 9 a.m.
Okay,
I'm going to say noon
because you're not up.
Noon, because okay. Anybody else? No? Yes? No? Right now I've got 9 a.m. and noon. That's all I've got.
Those are the best times.
6 p.m.
11 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock at night.
Judy's going evening. 6
p.m. 11 o'clock in the morning. Evening.
Early okay. evening.
Early evening? Oh. Mm. Sun going down kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Summer sort of thing? Mm-hmm. All right. 7:15 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's early. Mm-hmm.
7:15 a.m.
Well, what's the reasoning behind that?
When you're not fully awake?
That always helps me.
Well, every
if the other person is not fully awake, that it's always better. Maybe they won't even notice.
I can't do that.
Well, I mean, it's sort of like
maybe they won't notice.
Maybe because I just because it's embarrassing. I mean, who knows how it's going to end up?
I don't want to bother them.
I don't want I just don't want to bother you. So maybe you can just sleep through this. It'd be okay.
Trust me, they always notice. They may not act like it, but they know.
See, that's what I'm wondering about. I know because it's so early in the morning. Is that why you didn't really react? Okay, I get it. So early. Sorry, did I wake you?
Not the reason.
Sorry,
was I
waking
you?
Yeah, sorry. Anyway, the point here is it's right. I'm trying to be right. I'm trying to be thoughtful. It is 7:50 in the morning is because our energy levels are the highest. How about that?
What if you don't wake up at 7:15? Like if you reveal it in Kevin, you get up later in the day.
I guess the first thing you do when you wake up.
Perfect. Yeah. If you wake up at 9 a.m.
Right. Or noon.
Oh, yeah, for him.
Yeah. Or 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's like right around when you wake up.
I mean, let me just ask you a question. When you go to work at 9 o'clock in the morning, when do you wake up? Right? When you
7.
Right? 7, 8. Uh-huh. Sometimes if you're like 15 minutes from work or 10 minutes from work, you get up at 8, right?
Who lives 10 minutes from work?
I do.
Ro and Anna, pretty much.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, that works.
Right.
Who doesn't?
Right. So, I mean, that's to me, 2 o'clock's fine. Oh, God. I'm sorry. You awake? I just didn't want to wake you.
Oh, God. That's awful.
Oh, God. All right.
No, that's legal. Is that okay?
Well, if you're in a consenting relationship.
Okay.
I don't think, I mean, as long as you didn't induce the sleep, Bill Cosby. I mean, I think it's probably, I think it's probably legal, yes.
Okay.
I'm not saying anything untoward. I'm just saying like, oh, God, is this over yet? That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
If that's what the reaction is, all right, whatever.
I don't even wake up.
Do I have to wake up for this? No.
Did you feel that this morning? What was that in the bed?
No, the worst thing is
like when a minor earthquake?
I didn't feel a thing. Yeah. No, what are you talking about?
Like
what? Oh, darn it.
Something woke me up. It's kind of uncomfortable.
All right, here we go. Violetta Powdermatic's got the WGN Turf Trouble Spots. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Here he is. Howard Sudbury is here from Arlington Park.
Hey, Howard. We knew that bugle could only mean one thing.
Yes. Hi, guys. How are you?
And good Howard has you. Brought the most beautiful trophy.
Oh,
stunning. I don't know. The World Series trophy is pretty nice. And the Stanley Cup, of course. But
beautiful.
The Stanley Cup's dinged up, and it's got things you know in it that you don't want to know about. It's
yes.
very storied, but
things,
it's great.
Things have happened to the Stanley Cup.
That's true.
Not
but,
this one.
But now we have a brand new trophy for the Arlington Million, which is spectacular.
It is. Most things that come from Tiffany are spectacular.
Oh. Isn't that true?
Oh, the Tiffany. I see what you did there.
True.
Oh, did I get a plug in?
Yes.
I get nothing.
I was staring at the trophy. I wasn't staring at my bell.
I get nothing out of it. But this one is not going to get dinged up because you saw the security guys that I brought with me.
Oh, my gosh. We've seen the keeper of the cup with the Stanley Cup trophy.
It's one guy.
One guy. You got
with
three
a bowl
guys
haircut.
With their white gloves and the suits and the sunglasses.
Yes.
And I don't know. This is incredible.
Three guys that don't smile, that look like the offensive
no
lineman
sense
for the
of
Bears.
Humor.
That's true.
Well, one of them takes care of the trophy. The other two take care of me. So that's the deal.
So now
let's talk about
what a day this is going to be. This is one of the most important days in racing. As a matter of fact, this year it's going to be on NBCSN, right? A network show.
It is.
So this is something that people around the country and around North America are going to be watching on TV. But you can go out and you can see it at Arlington Park. And I've always said that. That Arlington Park, I've been to a lot of tracks around this this fair country of ours, and Arlington Park is certainly, I think, to most horsemen's eye and experience, the best modern racing facility in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah, it's spectacularly beautiful. It's really the star in a lot of ways of Arlington. That's what people talk about when they leave, about how beautiful it is and the flowers and the landscaping. And Arlington Million Day, for people that haven't been there, and you guys have been to the track before,
yep.
There's a lot going on besides just the horse racing. It all builds up to the million, which is a tremendous moment. But we have opening ceremonies after the fifth race. We have a Cirque du Soleil performance in the winner's circle. Cool. And speaking of trophies, we've got another one. We're bringing the World Series trophy out there this year.
Oh,
so we're going to have a procession from one end of the track to the other. People are going to get to see that trophy. And it's going to be on display in the paddock area, too. And Todd Ricketts is going to present the trophy for the million.
That's very
so
cool.
There's a lot of things going on. There's live music.
Cool.
So the horse racing is the king. That's the main event. But there's a lot of stuff going around it. It's fun.
So let's talk about you got your Jim Cornelison's going to be out there. He's going to do the national anthem, right?
Uh-huh.
You got bands. You've got this is a big day. And big races, you know, whether it's you know, the Kentucky Derby, there's all this pageantry around it, and all the way through the Preakness, the Belmont, Saratoga has a gigantic race, you know, Travers, all these other things that happen during the year. Because these races, and some of these cases, the races are over a century old, the Arlington Million's 35 years old, and for a while was the most expensive race. It was the biggest race in the nation. It's now been eclipsed by because Yum Brands has thrown so much money behind the Kentucky Derby and then the Triple Crown and all that. But it's still a big thing. Horses from all over the world, the best horses from around the world, are going to be here for this race.
Yeah, that's what's cool about it. I mean, mm-hmm. the Kentucky Derby is the most famous race in the world, but it's not really an international race like the Million is. You're right. We have horses from all over the world. They've already shipped in. They fly first class. When they bring them over here, they fly into O'Hare. They have to go into quarantine mm-hmm. for about 48 hours until mm-hmm. they get blood work back. And that just shows you it's a million-dollar purse, but it's not all about the money. It shows you the prestige of winning this race, and that's why they come from England and Ireland and Dubai and all over the place.
I love that. How do you dress for the Arlington Million? Do the hats come out?
Yeah.
The seersucker suits are okay? You
yes.
do all that stuff?
Yeah, it's just like the Kentucky Derby and our Derby Day at Arlington. A lot of people dress that way, but mm-hmm. yeah, you see guys in the fedoras and the women
that.
With the beautiful hats.
I'd love to see we you in a fedora robe.
Yeah, I'm not a fedora guy.
Seersucker suit.
I'm not good with the fedora.
Can you pull the fedora off?
No.
You don't even want to try it.
No, I don't try it.
But we have a fashion contest. I think
I
we have two
that.
Or 300 people that are in that. They're out around
talking.
The paddock dressed beautifully. So, it's a way
and
to dress up.
And the men participate in this fashion contest,
they do.
Too, because
they
saw your
they
promotional
do.
Materials. You've got a lot of guys.
The ones that can pull the fedora off wear them in the seersucker suits.
Well, I've never seen you in a fedora, Howard. Are you a fedora guy?
No, not really. I don't want to do it.
I wouldn't want to either.
I don't want to mess my hair up. So
that's how I feel about it.
Reason?
You know, once you know what you know,
crushes
like,
the hair gel.
Howard's got famous hair. I mean, that's you know, you don't want to mess with the hair.
Well, and then you got to because when you mash your hair down, then you have to take it off for the national anthem,
sure.
and you look like an idiot.
Well, you got to poof it back up again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of work.
It's all about
now
the
you
poof.
Know how it is to be a woman.
But you know what? You don't have to dress up though. There's a lot of ways to go. I mean, you can wear t-shirts and shorts and go out in the Million Party Zone, which is out in the park area. So there are a lot of options on how to roll.
Yeah.
Be
well,
casual.
It is beautiful. The food's great. It is a great day of being outside and watching the horses. And one of the things that you get to do too at Arlington that I think is different than most other tracks is you, especially around here, you get to be in a beautiful setting mm-hmm. in the paddock. You can go down. You can take a look at the because horse racing works like this. You know, it's 20 minutes between races essentially, and so after the race is over, you can go down to the paddock. You can watch the horses. They put the saddles on the horses. They get mounted down there, and then they parade them out, and you get to see you get within just a few feet of these magnificent athletes. And you see, and I'll tell you what's even more impressive, too, is if you want to go down there after a race is over and you watch them come back down to the tunnel after a race, and you see the muscles pulsing on the, you know, after they've already been through that race, and you get to see exactly how hard they work. And they seem to know, I mean, people always ask me about this, about horse racing. Do they, you know, the horses know what they're doing? And there is no question about the fact that they know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, they know it's race day because mm-hmm. the routine changes. So they know exactly what's going on. They know when they're led into the paddock, and they get pumped up like an athlete in any other sport, like an NFL player or a Major League Baseball player. They know it's time to go, and the champions really know. And you don't have to be a hardcore racing fan to go down to the paddock like you talked about and appreciate what these athletes look like. I mean, they, you know, their ears are up in the air and they're prancing around on their toes because they know it's go time.
Right.
So that is really cool. They're magnificent.
It's fun to watch the ears, too, because you can tell what the horse is concentrating on by which way its ears are pointing.
What do you mean?
Because they point forward and to the side, and that's what they're concentrating. They learn more with their ears than they do with their eyes. So you can tell what they're, if their ears are moving mm-hmm. a lot, that means that they're thinking pretty hard. If their ears are pretty steady and then they just respond, you know, to singular things happening around them, mm-hmm. that means that they're more, that can mean that they're more focused. And quite honestly, speaking of athletes, you see these jockeys
mm-hmm.
and people are like, oh, it's just a little guy's got to hold on. Not even close, remotely close, pound for pound. I mean, Eddie Olczyk will tell you, who's a horseman also, he will tell you that, and hockey players, I think, are the best conditioned athletes. I mean, you've been in sports your whole life.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah. Hockey players are probably the best conditioned.
Boxers.
Yeah, right. Some are in there. And jockeys are right up there. Pound for pound, the amount of strength it takes to control, especially because they ride the thing with their knees and their thighs. That's the most important thing, and they have to hold that position. And then their upper body strength is incredible to try to steer the horse and handle the horse when they are, you know, a tenth, less than a tenth the size of a horse. You know, I mean, a twelfth the size of a horse. It's an incredible thing to watch.
It is. Well, you know, just get yourself in that position, you know, up on your toes with all your weight on your legs. And then your upper body is trying to, you know, harness the strength of these horses and hold them back for half the race. And then you start working with your arms to get them to go when you get to the top of the stretch.
Just do that for 2 minutes. Stand on your toes.
Exactly.
Crouch for 2 minutes. And because they're not sitting on the horse. If you're sitting on the horse, you sit on the horse before or after, but you're
That's
not.
How I ride.
You're not sitting on it. You are up above that horse. You're hovering over the horse and handling that.
So try that sometime, but I wouldn't do it in front of anybody.
No,
it looks a little. What is he doing?
Howard, talk about the food a little bit because I know you guys have incredible food out at the park.
Oh, we have great food. I mean, the food is you know, you can go from gourmet. Hot dogs and burgers, and you know, the Million Room has terrific food. All the group venues have fantastic food, so the options run, like I said, all the way from hot dogs and hamburgers to lobster.
Doesn't get much better than that, I'll tell you.
No, I do enjoy the food there.
Yes, it is,
and the experience, the whole experience, it's awesome.
Yep. Now about the race. Now that we've talked about the whole other thing, I mean, you go to the race, you put a few bucks down on a horse, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. That's basically the way I've lived my life. But I always think, you know, going in, you know, I'm ever the optimist. I'm always hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
You have there are a number of great horses in this race. But right now, the favorite at this point, again, it's Wednesday. And the odds will start to move. The odds will get set. They'll move on Saturday, you know, before the race. But I think that the morning line odds are going to move a little bit here. This Deauville, who won the Belmont. Right, is going to be
won
here.
The Belmont Derby last year as a 3-year-old. He ran in the Arlington Million last year, and he ran third.
He's a 4-year-old this year.
He was a 3-year-old last year. So Anna, mm-hmm. 3-year-olds when they run against older horses at that time of the year is, you know, like a sophomore in high school taking on, you know, professionals. So
that'd be a major upset.
It generally doesn't happen. So he's back this year as 4. He's accomplished this year. He's run really well. I think he's run 6 times, and he's been in the money 5 of those 6. He's trained by Aidan O'Brien, one of the top trainers in the world. I would expect that he would be right there. But he's not going to be like 4-5 or something like that. I mean, if you get it right, the price is going
to
be fair.
7-2 is what they're saying right now. Yeah. That's sort of the initial price going in, they think. That's the morning line will probably hold at 7-2. So you can make, you know, if you bet $2, you get $7 back.
Nine.
Well, you get your two.
Or you make
you get your
seven,
two and you make seven.
Seven profit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there are 12 races, and, you know, you don't have to get the million right. If you win the 6th race of the day and you make a big bunch of money, I'm just as happy. You're trying to make a profit.
Don't I know it?
Yes.
Make up for it later?
Don't I know it?
That's what's great. There's one race after the million, so if things aren't going well, you
put
got
it
a chance,
all on that one.
You got a chance to get out.
Howard, how many of us over the years have, after a big race day, because after every, in almost every track, every major race, you know, every stake, there's always one makeup race afterwards that's like a, it could be a sort of an, these horses can be inexperienced or unlucky that are in that last race.
Sure.
And everybody's going for the 60 to ones in those, that race, just trying to make it get even with the day.
Yes. Let's cut to the chase. What's the most money you've ever bet on a horse race?
Oh, gosh. I think that's a big
Howard, this interview is over.
Yeah,
this is
really
a beautiful trophy. I've got
to
run.
What
is the most I've ever in a I don't. Should I say? I don't even know.
You don't have to say.
It's under $1,000.
It's your show.
For me, it's under $20, but it's fun.
Because that's the cool thing about horse racing is that you can make a lot of money on a $20 bet.
Sure.
You know, that's because you're working with odds. So you don't have to bet hundreds and hundreds or thousands of dollars.
Yeah. I would say, now that I think about it, I would say about $500.
That's the most.
Be my guess. Yeah. The most I've ever bet on a single race. And I'm not proud of it because it didn't pay up. But I you know what? A couple of years ago, I was at Arlington. It was actually more than a couple of years ago. There was a, in the Belmont, this had to be 10, 12 years ago. This is a 60 to 1 shot. And at the last minute, I bet everything, right? You know, like all the other horses. Now that I'm in all the favorites, I thought, what am I doing here? So I just went and put $5 on the 60 to 1 shot. And boom, came right home.
Yeah.
Right?
It happens.
So it's. That sort of thing can happen. And I'm always a big fan of people that they don't, you know, they just want to bet a number or a color or a name or whatever. It's great.
That's fine.
But
I've
you,
done that.
But I always say, take $2 and put it on whatever the longest money is in the race.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Because when that happens, I mean, it's just, it's $2. When it if it comes back.
It really pays. So
you're
going to
be a very happy
Cha-ching.
Camper. Yeah.
Yeah, and I will never talk anybody off of a long shot. Even if the horse looks hopeless and has no chance to win in my mind, the second I tell you not to bet on it, it wins.
That has happened.
Yes. Yeah.
That has actually happened from Howard to me before, but that has happened.
Yeah. Everything has happened in horse racing.
Yes, that is true.
That's what's cool about it. You don't know what's going to happen.
So do you like Deauville? What other horses should people be looking for here?
I think there are a couple of other European horses I think are going to be tough. A horse named Scottish, I think, is ready to run a big race. And then I wouldn't overlook Casa Key that was second in the Million last year. He looks like he's rounding into form and ready to run a big race right now. So it's a fairly,
how many return horses?
It's a fairly competitive race. You know, I don't know for sure. The Pizza Man is back in.
Illinois
bred. The Pizza Man's running for the third year in a row, and he's eight years old, which is getting a little older for a top-level horse. And it looks like he maybe has lost a half a step, but I wouldn't count him out yet.
Mm-hmm. Prime to, especially horses that have done, you know, raced on the track. And how many current Arlington horses that horses that have raced at Arlington this season are in?
Yeah, there are a couple that have run in the Stars and Stripes. Ghost Hunter is a horse that won the Stars and Stripes at Arlington on July 8th. He's running. And there's another Illinois bred in there, locally owned, by the name of Oakbrook.
Oh,
who is a long shot, but they think that he's earned his chance. He ran second at Arlington in his last race, in his prep race. So they said, you know, he's as good as he's ever going to be. Let's take our shot.
How much does it matter if a horse reappears at a track? Do they have tracks they like, and is that a difference maker in terms of being familiar with the track and having run it before?
It can be. I don't know if it's a great advantage, because we see horses ship from England and come in. They've never run on the track before, and they run great.
Those horses are bred like with super horse strength. I mean, if you're shipping in, the owners are taking the expense to ship a horse in on those 747s, those retrofitted 747s, to bring him in here,
ride.
They kind of know that this is a pretty good horse, right?
Maybe they got a shot. Yes.
So, I mean, this is, you're not going to do that, because there are horses, you know, from Europe and from Dubai and other places that are just, you know, and that's the best part. And what's amazing is you see all these people walking around the track and you're like, oh, my God, that is somebody, because, you know, you could sort of smell the super rich guys, and the guy with the 747 with the horse on it. You go, that's the guy right there. You know who that is.
You kind of do know. It's kind of like the trophy, the cup. You've got the guys around them, and you just can spot what's important, what's valuable.
Yeah, it's carry themselves a certain way.
Yes,
they
do. And they also have an entourage around them, and a lot of guys who look like the guys who brought in the trophy, too.
Yes.
Big burly guys with suits on.
Sunglasses, earpieces.
Sort of thing. Right, exactly.
That's my guys.
I just want to say that, again, if people want to do it's just for a day of people watching,
it's
for nothing else.
Yeah.
Arlington on Saturday is as great an experience as you're going to have all summer in the Chicago area, and especially if you've never been there before. And go and you spend a few bucks. You spend, you know, $2 a race, or, you know, $2 every other race, or whatever you want to do, or $500 on a race like some other idiot I might know.
On a long shot.
Go ahead and do it, because you never know what's going to happen. Have a little bit of fun. The economy's humming, right? That's what we keep hearing. It's fine. It's good. It's good to go. Enjoy
place.
It. All right, and again, this is beautiful, and thanks to Tiffany for letting you bring it into us here and to Arlington.
Well, it's we own it, so we don't have to thank Tiffany anymore.
I'm thanking them for making it because it's so beautiful.
Yeah, oh, it is beautiful. If you can see on the bottom, we've got a ring there like the Stanley Cup with all the winners of the previous millions engraved, and there's a master engraver from Tiffany coming out, so the second the race is official, he's going to start etching in the name of this year's winner.
And does this one stay and everybody gets a replica?
Yes. Yes, this is the perpetual, and this one stays at Arlington on display. But the ones they get are pretty nice, too. Plus, the winner gets $600,000.
Oh, not bad. So you can go to Tiffany's.
Not bad.
Yeah. I would have to make $600,000, I would have to bet $60 million. As they always say, how do you become a horse racing millionaire? Start with $1 billion.
Yes.
Howard, thank you very much. As always, my best to everybody out at Arlington, one of the great facilities in the world.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Always fun.
Violetta's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
It's rare, it's epic, and it's coming to Illinois. Tom Skilling previews the total eclipse of the sun. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9.
All right, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Tell you about this very important note here. I want you all.
Note?
It's no. This is a human note.
Humanoid note.
Yes. Keep your eyes to the skies,
mm-hmm.
and be on the lookout for a humanoid who is flying up and down the lakefront.
What
was that? In a helicopter?
No. Apparently it's just a humanoid. I don't make this stuff up, people.
No one said you were.
My daughter asked me about this last night. She
about
was
the
like,
humanoid?
She's like, hey, have you seen the humanoid? I'm like, what? Oh, it's going up and down the lakefront. Like, what are you talking about?
Wow.
This is, listen, I'd like to be able to make this stuff up. I'd like to be able to tell you that this stuff didn't really happen, but this stuff really did happen.
Was it photographed? Do we have proof of this?
Well, you know, photographs, you know, it depends on how you feel about an actual photograph, what you consider to be one. There has been a record number of flying humanoid sightings over Chicago this year, according to the Chicago Reader.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't need me, a newspaper reporter, writes Amy Levitt, to tell you that we're living in strange times. I think we always knew deep down that when the Cubs won the World Series that everything else was going to go weird in the universe. And that's true. That is true.
And even the eclipse, yeah. The eclipse, people say, sometimes is linked to weird events, that weird stuff comes out.
Kind of like full moons.
Mm-hmm.
As of now, there have been 29 sightings of flying humanoids in Chicago.
Now, when you say humanoid,
it's like a human-like figure, but it's not really human. You can't figure out what it is. Is that what you're talking about?
Like a vampire?
Mostly they've been observed hovering in the air, but one took a dramatic leap off the Sears Tower, and two more performed aerial maneuvers above the Adler Planetarium.
None of this caught on video or camera.
They flew figure eights around each other, according to a witness. It looked like they were dancing in a strange sort of way.
Now, did this happen, the sighting during Lollapalooza, by any chance?
Great question.
Yeah, were their butt cheeks hanging out, these humanoids?
One of the sightings was reported by a police officer.
Oh, really?
And confirmed by a self-described aspiring journalist.
What?
Both of whom saw a tall, thin figure jump off an apartment building in Auburn Gresham and fly away.
Oh, creepy.
What? Are you sure it wasn't one of those fake distance things that messes with your mind? It looks bigger than it is, but it's really like a crow or something?
Fake news.
Come on.
No, this was totally real.
This was real.
This one you're backing.
Word from
people,
the White House.
People, this is the one to believe. Don't believe anything else you hear. This is totally real. Lon Strickler, who's been investigating flying humanoids since the late 1970s.
Oh, gosh. There's a guy who does this. Good.
Keeping records on the current rash of sightings on his website, Phantoms and Monsters, says he has never heard of so many reports in one place in such a short period of time. In comparison, the Mothman,
ooh,
who haunted the skies above Point Pleasant, West Virginia in the late 1960s, was a retiring homebody. Hmm. Very few people. Did you ever see that Mothman Prophecies movie?
Mm-mm. No. Did not. It's freaky.
Oh. Wow.
It sounds like we might have a Batman on our hands here.
Or just like a drone or something. I mean, do we really?
I'm Batman.
How come there's no video?
Well, I don't know why they always have to say it like that. I'm Batman.
Well, not everybody's carrying around a phone at all times, Anna, so it's tough to get a shot at
these. Are you kidding me?
I am kidding you.
Now, most of the flying...
is not caught on camera these days.
It's so true.
I mean, the guys,
right.
The two people in Milwaukee State Fair were just trying to, like, you know, get involved with each other, and they had to get videotaped. I mean, they just wanted to...
Get it all on.
Trying to have a
good
time.
Get it on.
Most of the flying humanoids here have been spotted around Lake Michigan, which makes sense to this guy who's got a...
The expert.
This guy's got a blog. He's an expert, right? Because he's got a blog. Lots of weird stuff appears around Lake Michigan.
Oh. Well, I'll agree with that.
Like unidentified flying crafts and orbs. The lake is some sort of a portal.
That's what he says.
Been saying it for years.
Don't, yeah.
Well, also because the water reflects things. And at night, I mean, the great deal of O'Hare traffic flies over the lake. That's the most commonly used route into O'Hare.
It's not a bird. It's not a plane. It's a humanoid, Ro.
Well, I guess they would move in a different way than a plane or a drone. So that was what would mess with your mind.
There have been three separate humanoids flying around, according to the Strickler guy, because the earlier sightings were of a tall, feathered being with wings and glowing red eyes.
Wow, that's pretty specific for someone who didn't have time to take their phone out and take a picture.
The second wave were possibly lechuzas, Mexican witches that transform into owls or eagles. Of duh.
Everyone knows that.
But the most recent sightings have been most closely resembling large black bats between 6 and 8 feet tall with a wingspan of about 12 feet.
12 feet? Oh, my gosh.
Hmm. Strickler feels confident that these are, in fact, flying humanoids and not gliders or drones or large birds.
Hear the bird.
He says his BS meter is pretty good.
Oh, is it?
He tracks humanoids.
I sort of doubt that, but okay. I mean, I don't know him, so I just have to go with his own word.
What's his name again? Ken Strickler?
His name is Lon Strickler.
Oh, Lon, yeah. Lon Always
Strickler.
Trust the guy.
Lion Strickler.
Lon Strickler.
Lion Lon.
I don't think so.
No, I don't either.
Would accuse him of that.
I don't either. I'm glad that someone's tracking these things.
Yeah.
I'm not.
It freaks you out a little bit, though, doesn't it, when you hear about
He's still not sure what the humanoids are or what they want. May very well be an extra-dimensional traveler of some type.
Extra-dimensional
travelers. See them all the time.
See, I haven't, and I'm very thankful of that. I would not want to see a humanoid or anything else that you can't identify.
Yeah, are they causing trouble or anything? I mean, are they attacking humans? Are they?
No, not so far. Strickler, by the way, says he's seen a flying humanoid 6 times, and he saw Bigfoot once.
Wow, that's big.
Well, that's the weird part. It's just like when they see multiple people, see them.
His first sighting was back in 1988 at a Boy Scout camp along Conewago Creek near his home in southeastern Pennsylvania.
Great year, great spot.
Yeah. Some of the scouts reported hearing an eerie noise that sounded like a crying baby. It scared them, so Strickler and a band of investigators, or Boy Scouts, as they're otherwise known,
7-year-olds,
went into the woods to check it out. In the middle of their second night in the woods, they found the source of the sound.
They were probably scared. They could have used a pep talk from President Trump. All those Boy Scouts.
It shot out of the creek like a rocket. One thing all of us noticed was the bright red eyes. 6 feet tall, wings behind its back.
Oh, my God.
Just shot up and started flying away.
It's just like the one Lon saw in Chicago.
This is Lon telling the story.
Oh.
Heard screaming sounds. Pretty dramatic. But it wasn't a harbinger thing. It's just something that lives around the creek.
What's weird is this goes hand in hand with all the Bigfoot sightings on the East Coast.
Now, here's the other problem. Police, is this really what's happening now? I mean, we have like real problems and people are worried about something, you know, bat-like creature flying around and Bigfoot. Now,
This one is
cops in South Carolina.
See, this is totally separate because there's video of this.
Have issued a warning to residents following reports of a recent Bigfoot sighting. If you do see a Bigfoot, this is the Greenville, South Carolina Police Department.
Official police department, Facebook page, and statement.
If you see Bigfoot, please do not shoot him slash her.
Which sounds ridiculous until you look at all of the videos that the police department posted of people that have gone viral, of people sighting this Bigfoot-like creature running through the forest and across people's lawns and stuff.
John Bruner, leader of Bigfoot 911, wrote to the group's Facebook page that a team of seven people have been walking in a wooded area scattering glow sticks when the big guy began throwing rocks at them.
The Bigfoot did?
Yes. Yeah.
That'd be pretty scary if that happened.
Bruner says, according to the Charlotte Observer, I was able to see details of the creature, like the face, and the hair was matted and stringy. Isn't that like a guy in a ghillie suit?
Well, that's what they're saying. This probably is. This is, you know, don't shoot him because it might be a guy in a suit. Gorilla suit.
The ghillie suit, the camouflage suit.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But some people are speculating that this is someone actually dressed up like a gorilla. Because there are some shots of this being that are pretty, yeah, you can make it out. It isn't like the grainy stuff you see on the National Enquirer. You can make it out.
Of this makes so much sense.
Yeah, totally. There is a guy across the street from us who is in a gorilla suit.
Yes, what? Like outside every the Walgreens.
Day? Right, outside the Walgreens. Oh,
yeah.
That guy. Avenue.
Yeah, we see him all the time.
I just pray that we don't have tourists from South Carolina here who get totally freaked out and think it's a Bigfoot.
I saw him on Michigan Avenue. Following him.
That guy's kind of small, though. I feel like Bigfoot would be bigger.
Well, he's not intimidating either. He's just in his gorilla suit.
Eating a banana. What's to see here?
The Greenville police, after looking at these videos, have said, after watching the videos, we think we can say with some confidence that the proof of Bigfoot still eludes us.
Not all of us, no.
you believe it?
You got to see these videos, though, because it's pretty creepy. It's just creepy. It's like, well, what is it? Is it a guy in a suit? What's going on here?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what I'd do if I encountered Bigfoot. I feel like he might be my friend.
This is always Violetta's default for everything. I could be friends. She's like, when she sees a celebrity, she's like, I could be friends with him. He'd really like me.
Hi, I'm Violetta.
Yeah. Nice to meet you, Bigfoot.
I'll hang out with you in your woods.
She does. She shows up. She shakes everybody's hand. Very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Bigfoot.
What's wrong with that?
Big fan. We were just talking about you. Do you know the Mothman?
Maybe Violetta.
What are these humanoids that are flying around here? You know any of them?
He's just gurring back. And I'm like, yeah.
But it's weird. People are actually going out looking for Bigfoot now in the Carolina area where they found this. And they're trying to hunt Bigfoot.
Next show outing, the Rokon show with Anna DeVlantis hunts for humanoids along the Chicago lakefront. Who's in?
I'm in. I think that might be fun. We'll go down by the beach.
Worst case scenario is we post a video on the website, get a few clicks.
Right. I bet they hang out by the river. Because don't you think that's where the creatures would sort of escape, elude
those
you?
Are real creatures. We don't want those. We want the fake ones.
If you see any, can you just call back to the newsroom?
Yeah, we'll give you a heads up.
Thanks.
What could go wrong?
We'll get video, too.
We'll hang out at Rowe's deck for a little bit until it gets dark out, and then we'll all walk to the lake and see if we can spot some
humanoids. We'll wear those miners' headlamps and stuff and walk through the streets with,
We can take some deck pics over there, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Totally be fine.
All right.
This is just crazy how many sightings.
Don't worry, Chicago. We're on it.
Places.
Yeah. if there's the Rokon show with Anna DeVlantis shall save you, Chicago.
Sleep easy tonight, friends.
Rex Tillerson thing. Don't worry. There's nothing to see here.
When we see those humanoids.
It's fine.
No.
Don't worry about it.
It's not what you think.
Thermonuclear war. Nothing.
Go to bed.
We're good.
Sleep on it.
We're good. We got a guy jumping off a building flying through the sky.
With big red eyes.
This humanoids will see fire
seven
and fury.
Foot wingspan.
In the likes this world has never seen.
All right.
Kind of
I feel like
out.
You guys would let them take me.
Yes. WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. only after this report, though, because we need you for this, brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. They're paying for it.